This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. A Dartmouth College professor is heading to Paris this week to join in the global conversation about strategies to combat climate change, and she'll be doing so as the new chair of the Union of Concerned Scientists Board of Directors. Professor of Environmental Studies Anne Kapuscinski became the first woman to serve in the organization's leadership role when she assumed the duties in October. Kapuscinski researches sustainability challenges with a particular focus on food and energy systems and climate change mitigation. She's also served as a scientific advisor to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture and the World Health Organization. Anne Kapuscinski joins us now from the studios at Dartmouth College to talk about her new role, and thank you so much for being with us on Morning Edition.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mitch.
So, first of all, for those who are not familiar with the organization, what is the Union of Concerned Scientists? What is the organization's mission?
The Union of Concerned Scientists is an independent, nonprofit organization that's built an amazing reputation for fairness and accuracy and independence in the way it applies science to some of our most pressing challenges facing the nation and the world, and to apply that science to solve policy challenges, basically to recommend policy actions that are informed by the best science. So we are interested in focusing on combating global warming, developing sustainable ways to feed, power, and transport ourselves, and to fight misinformation, the misuse of science, or sometimes ignorance of science, and reducing the threat of nuclear war.
Well, let's talk about Paris, because you are headed to the climate talks. And, you know, we hear so much about time running out to do anything meaningful worldwide on climate change, and that a tipping point of no return is imminent. Are those concerns, in your view, overblown, or does Paris really represent a last chance effort to mitigate the serious effects of climate change on the environment?
Well, I don't think the concerns are overblown, but I don't know if I would say that Paris per se is the last chance. I do think that Paris is absolutely critical moment in which we have to put in place the right structures and the right commitments to ramp up the ambition of emission reductions among all the countries so that we do get the entire world community on the path that would limit the global warming increase to no more than 2 degrees centigrade by the end of the century.
You mentioned that one of the concerns of the Union of Concerned Scientists is that misinformation about science is dealt with, that people aren't thinking the wrong things about science. And I have to imagine that you must have some concerns when you hear certain politicians talking about climate change, those who doubt that it's a serious problem. How serious is that view to getting something meaningful done on climate change?
Well, unfortunately, it has been a real impediment to mobilizing the U.S. Congress to be part of the solution in order to put in place the necessary climate policies. For example, we know that one of the most effective ways to get the whole world community on this path to ending up with no more than a 2 degree rise in average global warming would be to put a price on carbon. Our current administration in the White House has done the best they can, for example, with the passing of the Clean Power Plan for the EPA, but it would definitely be much, much easier if we can get the Congress to come along with us. Frankly, it's very uncomfortable as a U.S. scientist to, you know, be in the country where there is this kind of impediment, because the rest of the world community understands this. One of our most important economic partners and economic competitors in the world, China, has recently made a commitment that it is going to put in place a program to put a price on carbon in the year 2017. They're talking probably about a cap and trade program. So it's clearly time for the United States to step up and do the same thing. It just really doesn't make sense to have our political leaders say that climate change is not a real thing. The science has been in on this for a long time. We're seeing devastating effects of climate change everywhere, and unfortunately, in many cases, hurting the most vulnerable people and communities that contributed the least to the carbon emissions that are now in our atmosphere and affecting all of us.
You've written that your work stresses a systems approach to sustainability challenges. I'm curious about what does that mean, a systems approach, in regards to something like food and energy production?
Well, a systems approach tries to look at all the different factors that can help actually advance sustainability solutions. So, for example, some of the research that I do is looking at the emergence of businesses and farmers all around the world who are actually combining sustainable forms of agriculture with renewable energy generation. And interestingly, Vermont is actually one of the hotspot examples of that with the Cow Power program that you have in Vermont, where dairy farmers are taking manure, putting that into anaerobic digesters, producing methane gas on purpose that they capture and then use it to generate electricity that they can feed back to the grid. But it turns out that there are those kinds of innovations happening all over the world. So in taking a systems approach, I try to not just look only at the food production or only at the energy, but think about the linkages and also take a systems approach in thinking about connections between science and the policy levers we need to actually make sure that these innovations that humans are coming up with all over the planet, that these innovations actually get replicated and spread widely enough. And you often need the right policy design to make that happen.
I want to circle back to climate change and the talks in Paris. If someone said to you, look, a carbon tax, things like that, it's going to hurt business, it's going to hurt industry, we can't afford it, what would your answer to that be?
I guess my answer to that would be that that's ignoring the fact that businesses and the economy are already shifting to a fossil fuel-free economy. So actually, I would say that putting a carbon tax will not hurt business. Instead, it's going to accelerate a shift to a clean energy economy that's got all kinds of great opportunities for jobs, for application of ingenuity and innovation by American entrepreneurs, put us in a position to be on the leading edge of spreading that technology. And we need to do it sooner rather than later, because if we wait too long, we're going to actually fall behind.
I can't let you go without asking about the one thing that most people probably think of when they hear Union of Concerned Scientists, and that's the so-called doomsday clock. This represents a countdown to global catastrophe. It's usually associated with the likelihood of nuclear war. But could climate change also be a catalyst for moving that clock hand closer to midnight? And where is it set now?
I never thought of that doomsday clock in that way, but that makes some sense to think about it like that. I would say that the doomsday clock is 15 years off. Between now and the next 15 years, we have to have made the pivot in our policies and our commitments of nations. Many of the actions will happen over the rest of the century, but we have to see that in the next 15 years we've made a big enough pivot that we move from a path right now that's leading to an average warming of 4 degrees centigrade by the end of the century to instead a path that would limit the warming to no more than 2 degrees centigrade by the end of the century.
Anne Kapuscinski is a Dartmouth College professor and the new chair of the Union of Concerned Scientists Board of Directors. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Rich.